There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You have found the Shanny Pants Show. Hello, it's Shanny, the least influential influencer that there ever was. With a heart full of laughter and a journey that runs deeper than the trendiest makeup you may know me from my ridiculously comedic fashion and makeup tutorials on social media, but guess what? There's so much more to the story. I was born, raised, and married in a cult. When I left the cult at 31 years old, I had no knowledge about real life or how to process what I had been through. I felt very alone. The past couple of years, I've been on an incredible journey of learning, growing, and recovering, and I'm excited to share this with you. I'll bring you stories from the Cultiverse, where many cult survivors and experts share their knowledge and experiences. Their stories are more than inspiring. They're a roadmap to self-discovery and resilience. So get ready for a podcast that's part comedy, part wisdom, and a whole lot of heart. If you feel alone in your journey, my hope is that that will change once you hear these stories. Welcome to the Shanny Pants Show.
I am so excited to have you both here today. And this is super fun to have both of you, your siblings. This is John and Shelley that we have on the show today. So why don't you guys each, maybe John, you can start, give a little intro of yourself, and then we'll kind of talk about your guys' story.
I'm John Snow. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. Also grew up in the IFB, or the Independent Fundamental Baptist Cult. I am now an actor and a writer in Los Angeles, California.
And I am his sister, Shelley Snow Portilla. I also obviously grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I actually now live not far from St. Louis, and I am a novelist and screenwriter and publishing.
Today, I really want to hear kind of more about your guys' story, your upbringing. Obviously, you kind of said what you grew up in as far as cult goes. And I just would love to hear kind of your guys' experiences, anything that stands out to you. Because again, we're all just sharing our stories. And that's what my listeners I know love to hear, is just the relatability in others' stories. Even if we come from different backgrounds, there's just so much there that like crosses all kinds of borders and, you know, relate just to so many people's situations. So if you guys just want to kind of start from your childhood and move forward, and then as we go, if I have any questions, I'll jot them down and be sure to interrupt you with all of my questions.
Cool.
Great.
Oh,
I'll let John start.
Man,
easy.
Thank you for that. No
Very
pressure
respectful.
At all.
Obviously, you were spanked as a child.
Well, I was ready to default to my upbringing and say, well, ladies first, please. Yeah,
she
right?
Beat you to
I
it.
Know. Okay. Well, you know, we were born into the IFB cult. You know, we didn't know anything else. We didn't know anything better. It just was what it was. It was life. And that meant being at church most of your days and all of your life. You know, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night. We had Wednesday night services. We had chapel in school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Fridays, I think we might have gotten some sort of respite, even though we had Bible class.
When we were teenagers, it was youth group.
Ah, there you go. I blocked some things out, which is why I wanted to defer to Shelley. And then Saturday, we would go, you know, to door to door, trying to recruit kids to come with us to Sunday school the next morning. So that was everything. Our entire lives, our entire schedules revolved around being in these churches. And, you know, we were at what was referred to in Let Us Pray as the mothership of the IFB. We were at Hammond Baptist, or First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, you know, during some very formidable years for us. From the time I was 5 until I was 12. And then, you know, we were in other IFB churches after that, once Dad graduated from their illustrious Bible college to become an ordained minister himself. And that was it. We bopped around to a few different churches, but, you know, that was it. That was everything. Life was that. And I like to compare it to being poor, which we were also very, very poor. And when you're a kid, you don't know that you're poor until you do. It's just something that is. And that's exactly how being in the cult felt. It wasn't anything we knew better. We just knew that this is what life was. And so we lived it, because you have no autonomy as a child. And
right,
that's what you do. So, yeah.
Now, do you guys have other siblings, or is it the two of you? You have siblings. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's this big gap between us.
Okay.
Shelly and I are a year and a half apart, much like you and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then David was born 9 years after, when I was 9. And Susie came along when I was 11.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. My sis, we have a baby sister too, who was 9 years younger than me. So, but then it stopped at her. But we had that big gap too. And it's so interesting. I don't know if you guys have this with your family, but with us, it's so interesting how being that spread apart, our experiences within our cult, completely different. Completely different. So it's
same
it's,
here.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like my sister that's more my age or closer to my age, we relate a lot more on things that happened, where baby sister just is just like, what? No, that didn't happen. And we're like, no, you were precious and you were a lot later. So you are lucky. you can thank us for going through all the trauma and saving you from that. But it is, it's very interesting how that happens.
Huh.
Yeah. Very, very cool. And then
I've had all three of my siblings, Shelly included, you know, say to me at some point, some version of thank you for being the first, because you took a lot off of all of us.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember going home when I was older, and my brother, who was a teenager at the time, had Maxim magazines laying around his bedroom and had rock and roll band posters on his wall. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, how did we get here? I had to hide cassette tapes
in the
dust cover underneath the bunkie board of my bunk bed, and I still got caught. They still found those.
Oh, this sounds very, very much like our family. That's hilarious.
All I could say was, you're welcome, David, because I wore them down and broke them, and
right.
You got to enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. And then, okay. So then once you said you were 12 when you moved to a different, and then did your dad become like a pastor or dean leader? No, he didn't after that.
Not for a long time.
No,
he still was really dedicated to the church, and he was what we called a song leader.
Oh, so we had some leaders too.
Yeah, there you go. So he would organize the,
that's right.
Directing in 4-4 time. That's amazing.
Yes,
So yeah, that's what he would do. He would pick the hymns for Sunday morning.
Okay. You're Catholic and you're hiding it.
Yeah. I love it. The special music for Sundays, he would organize that.
Yeah.
He was assistant pastor in places. He was Sunday school teacher. He was a teacher in the schools that were attached to the churches. He did a lot of different things. Right. Yeah.
Never paid.
Well, yeah. And before he finally became a pastor himself, where he also was not paid, but that's a whole other ball of wax.
Oh my gosh. That makes sense.
I mean, totally.
Totally normal. Now, so you guys did have, and of course, I've watched the documentaries and stuff, but I really don't know about your guys' story. So this is awesome. But you guys did have Sunday schools. And
that's Jesus. That's Jesus.
I'm like, oh, the thunder or something. maybe I should take my hat off. I don't know. So you did have Sunday schools where the children went during church, correct? Okay. And then you had schools for education that you also went to that were connected with the church.
Yeah. Our Sunday schools were actually like the hour before church, and we were expected to attend church as well with the adults. So we had 2 hours of church, and we were actually known and featured in Time magazine. I think it was in 1975, was it, John?
I have the actual magazine. I found it on eBay and I bought it, but I can't remember. Oh. But it's around that time. But,
as the world's largest Sunday school, because obviously we could say that we had the world's largest Sunday school and there would be no fact checking or, you know, officials from the Guinness Book of World Records called or whatever it would take, you know.
They just believe you because you're such sweet, honest people.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that makes sense though, you know, because children have really large attention spans. So definitely two hours is better than one. So that's
not
fun.
Only that, but the capability of reason. You know, and just really truly understanding the King James Version of the Bible. It was candy. It was easy.
Don't you feel like it just sunk in and now you're just filled with so much biblical knowledge?
I wanted to get up and teach it myself because I understood it so effortlessly.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. So we had to do on our Sunday, so we didn't have Sunday school because we just were required to be with the group. And we met at like Grange Hall. So because we weren't allowed to call ourselves a church because we were more special than that. And so we Grange Hall, sit on the metal chairs. But the kids were required to sit with the parents, you know, babies, everyone. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't have Sunday school or anything. And I think it was just because we were such an elevated group of children, most likely. They just knew that we would absorb all that knowledge with the adults. We did not need Sunday school because we were just so brilliant.
Right.
So I feel like, and then when I got out, I realized like I literally know nothing about the Bible. Nothing. Like it was just like a ball of anxiety the whole time I was in there. And then it was like, oh, okay, it's over. But our meetings went long. Like we didn't have requirements on when to stop in any. Women, you know, really weren't allowed to speak, but any men could like stand up and say whatever they felt like saying, which was usually stupid shit. And so sometimes we'd have 2-hour meetings, sometimes 3-hour meetings. Like it just depended who wanted to talk. But I would say typically it was probably about an hour and a half. But with the singing and all of that. So it was so fun. So fun. So when you guys moved to a different state, was it very similar from how you originally kind of grew up that long period of time as far as the church?
Yeah, like John said, we moved back and, you know, we were on the cusp of, you know, preteen, I guess, is what we were, you know. And so that's when I started to notice, and I'm sure John, you know, can talk about his experience, but I started to notice the differences more because we weren't at the mega church anymore. And so though we did go to an affiliated church, it was small congregation, like a couple hundred people. Mm-hmm. And so going from seeing whatever 20,000 on campus every Sunday, like they said, to 200, it's like, oh, this is different here. And so that changed at least my experience. For sure.
Okay.
I don't know how different it felt to me, other than the size. You know, it felt pretty much the same.
Like they the teachings and everything.
They love, teachings well, they were love, the same. Yeah. They love to call themselves independent. It's in the name.
Right.
But they're so connected. And every one of these churches is just a clone from Jack Hiles's church. And every one of those preachers was trying to be Jack Hiles as much as they possibly could. You know, so to me, there wasn't much difference. It was just, I couldn't hide as easily in it because I was one of 200 rather than one of 20,000.
Right.
And so to me, it felt more exposed, I think.
I could see that. Yeah.
We also had our first experience outside of the schools. We went to a public school for a short time. And so I think that for me was like eye-opening of how different are we. But it also confirmed some of the teachings that we were hearing for so many years of like the outsiders and this is how the world is. And, you know, you're of the select few and this is how other people live. And then you see that like, oh, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this public school. And I don't know, you know, I'm a fish out of water and,
Yeah, Shelley, you correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Shelley and I had two very different experiences going to the public school where Shelley felt so out of place and couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You remember what I had to wear, right?
I do. I do. Yeah. Yeah.
But John right, the guys just had it a lot easier.
Exactly. John was just this adorable, hip teenager.
And then he's like, yeah, that's my sister.
I was I was an Amish kid on Rumspringa. Like I was like, let's fucking go.
I bet.
I could not get enough.
And I was like in my culottes looking at people like, I don't know what this looks like.
I think you're the first person on the podcast that has mentioned culottes besides me. And it just warms my heart because no one ever knows what culottes are. And I'm like, it's basically a really full skirt for each leg. And, you know, it's real, you know, it's super comfortable and so fun. That's amazing. Yeah, that was fun. Wasn't that fun to go to school dressed like an idiot?
Is it cutting out for you?
Oh,
it
just
is cutting
did.
Out for
oh,
me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you are.
Hi.
You're slightly pixelated, but you're at least not robot-y sounding. Yeah.
Okay. As long as the sound's good, it's cool.
Now the sound
is better.
Okay. Shoot.
But we lost you for a moment there.
Yeah, I'm checking my Wi-Fi real quick. It looks fine. All right, we'll see if it happens again, but we're good. It was probably because we were talking about culottes in a sarcastic
way. Right, derogatory manner.
Right.
Yeah.
They're so gorgeous. And my mom made all of our clothes too, like all of our culottes. And like we couldn't, I mean, we did buy some stuff from the stores, but they usually weren't modest enough. And so we had to make them modest or make them.
Mm-hmm. Well, jean skirts was a big thing in our world, but then culottes we had to have made because my mom didn't really, I mean, she can sew actually, but she didn't.
But someone made them for you.
Someone made them for us.
Yeah.
And I think she might have, for my younger sister, see, this is how it went in our cult. It's like they were approved. Things were approved. You know, like you could wear the big baggy Bermuda walking shorts when I was a kid. And then as time progressed, it's like, but those are actually also men's clothing. So we have to make them. Even though they could look like a baggy skirt and don't show your form, we're going to make them because biblically speaking, it has to be intended for a woman.
Right. It's a slippery slope.
Yes. So then you would get patterns and stuff like that. Yes. I think at that point, that's when like when the patterns started to come out, my mom would make them for my younger sister, but I was older. So it's just like, I'll wear a skirt. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of age out of the culotte situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And I, you know, to be fair, I wasn't allowed to wear shorts.
Right.
That's true. Okay. Right.
You except know, for playing basketball.
No, not even playing basketball. What? Do you remember when I first played basketball, Dad made me wear sweatpants under my shorts?
No, I didn't remember that. Oh, yes. Awful.
Yes. Until he finally realized that I was the only one that was wearing sweatpants under my shorts.
You think?
And he felt... And he felt bad and decided that I could indeed wear shorts playing basketball.
He never felt bad that I was the only girl in the public school wearing culottes, however. Right.
Well, this was at Victory Christian.
Oh, okay.
When he realized I was the only Christian boy wearing sweatpants under my shorts. Difference.
Okay.
Because, you know, honestly, at 14, 15, 16, my spaghetti legs were sexy as hell. And I had girls drooling over those twigs.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, please. Yes. He always had girls drooling, so don't let him give you that.
But it was mostly the twigs.
It was.
Which is why I had to cover them up.
Right. You know, I mean, just to be safe. You don't want to cause others to sin in their heart.
And be responsible for what these things can do on their own.
Right. Oh, my God.
But isn't that interesting, though? Because that's the actual concept that you are taught, is that you aren't able to control anything outside of these parameters of control we're putting on you. So it's like such a messed up message.
It really is. Well, and for children, like my sister and I, when we were just talking, so confusing, you know, because it's just like these... Like, I remember there was a song we sang too, but about being a hypocrite. And it's like, they preach that from the front, like, we don't want to be hypocritical and stuff. And I'm like, that's what we all are doing. Like, we all are being hypocrites. Like, so one day you can wear shorts to the gym and then the next day you can't because all of a sudden you were convicted that they're bad now. Like, cool. That makes so much sense. So much sense. So very confusing. As a child.
Yeah, for me, one of the most confusing things was going to Blockbuster.
Oh.
Somehow we could go and rent a movie. Now, mind you, it was always a family-friendly movie.
Right.
But we could rent some movie from Blockbuster, yet I couldn't go to the movie theater and see it because that was a sin.
Right. That's not confusing.
Yeah.
Not at all. Clear as mud. Yeah. That's a good one.
I don't know that they expected all of that to happen either, because like our cult was very much steeped in the ideal 1950s housewife, you know, when the women's lib and like the 60s and 70s started to come, and they like made this really concerted effort to go back to the good old days. And so as things started coming out and you were able to have home theaters, which... We didn't have a television in our home for a good many years, right, John? Yeah. Like, maybe not until we moved back to St. Louis, so.
Well, we had that little black and white TV in Hammond.
Oh,
where we were able to watch Channel 66, which was, like, My Three Sons and My Favorite Martian and, like, all these old black and white TV shows that we were allowed to watch because those were wholesome.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know. Yeah, so we were allowed to watch that.
Yeah, that's right. And only like during certain times that our parents approved and all that stuff. So, yeah, but we had very limited television before then. But like it was the 1980s and, you know, everything like VHS, and we were starting to like not be at the mega church anymore. So that's when we
got Betamax and Laserdisc.
Yes, Laserdiscs and all the things. So I don't know that they quite expected all of the boom in technology to happen as quickly as it did.
Right.
And so you can't really control. So you had to make rules that applied. Like you can't go to the movie theater because God knows people like hug and kiss in there. And so...
Well, not only that, but you're also supporting the evil Hollywood. Because your money goes.
Does that make sense though? Because
no, that's exactly. Oh, okay. I remember being told this that you go to the movies and you support those actors and those evil people in Hollywood,
which you are now. Yeah.
Yes, the ultimate like.
I decided to just go full in and just like. Support them wholeheartedly. Right.
You're like, this seems like a good career direction to go in.
I joined that cult instead. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, so we weren't allowed. I'm loving all these comparisons, so sorry, but We weren't allowed movies, TV, any of that as well. But I remember in my parents' closet, our house was kind of like a long kind of ranchish, I would describe it, I guess, house. And so we had a long hallway. And in my parents' master bedroom, they had a walk-in closet. And we had a monitor. You know, we wouldn't call it a TV. It was a monitor on a like push, little rolly push TV holder tray thing, table.
Like at school when they would do movie day?
No, but yes, like that, but yeah, but a crappy one. And you know, a little lower tech, because you don't want to like actually put too much thought into like we have a TV. So but we would roll it down the long hallway into the living room, and we would watch movies, like, I mean, like Sound of Music. And this was, again, kind of like you, it was pick and choose. Like if my dad was out of town, Mom would rent us a couple of, you know, VHSs, and we would watch like Anne of Avonlea. There was like a whole series. We watched those, and it was just us three girls. So we loved it, you know. But I will never forget, and this happened multiple times, and we'd roll it all the way down this long hallway. It was carpet, and you'd have to push. Like I remember really putting your back into it all the way down to the living room. And because our life was only the people in our group, our cult, those were your, you know, these are the people, the only people that you're friends with, really. So my husband, my now husband's family, was just very known for randomly just showing up at people's houses. And it was before cell phones and stuff. And I think it was because they just didn't like being together. And so they would rather get out and do something and hang out with other people and make other people miserable as well. But I remember one night, all of a sudden, knock, knock, knock at the door. Or no, we could see him pull up because our windows face that way. Saw him pull up and we're like, oh, shit. We would not have said, oh, shit. Oh, right. Bummer. And we put, like, we were pushing that TV so fast down the hallway, like just, and then the person behind was on the carpet rubbing out the wheel marks of the TV thing. Because, you know, the monitor, they were these huge, heavy, like, boxes.
Oh, God.
Happened multiple times. And it was like, we had it down. One person pushed, the next person was rubbing out the marks in the carpet. We had it down. But yeah, it was definitely a...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, pick and choose when we would pull that bad boy out, but, and definitely not movie theaters, and probably for the same reasons. It was just, I mean, everything was bad, you know, for us, even other churches. How was that for you guys? Like, was it, were other churches wrong?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All of them.
Yeah.
It's good.
And even sometimes people who were within the movement and then like deviated from one of the like preferential things, like John mentioned the King James Version of the Bible. And there was this huge, like, let's push for everybody to make this a really big deal and why and all this. And some people were like, okay, cool, we use it, but why are you making such a big deal? And then the next Sunday they would get like lambasted in the pulpit about like, you know, a snake in the grass and all this stuff. And you're just no one was safe from the fury, for real.
Yeah.
And then they would call people out right in the middle of, like, that were sitting in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
They would call them out in the from the pulpit too, just like right in front of everybody.
Happened to me.
Yeah.
Like I literally was in a singing group, and I don't know if we had already sung and then come back down, and you sit like in the first couple of rows. And Jack Hiles was preaching his sermon, and my husband now, but I think we were just dating then, like, looked at me and said something, but I was looking straight at Jack Hiles, and he just went off on the young people in the front who want to talk instead of listen to the man of God. And I was like, I'm going to actually die in this chair.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This just sounds way too familiar. Oh my gosh. That is so interesting. And so do you feel like, I mean, obviously when you watch these documentaries and stuff, there's, and I think probably with any organization of any sort, there's going to be that abuse and all of these things that people don't know about that's going on. What would you say as far as like the whole group experience like that, like being pointed out in church or we rebuked is what we used to call it. Like we would be rebuked.
Yeah. We're very familiar with that word.
Yeah. So all of us young people would like joke and call it rebukal. And so I just made it more fun, I guess. You know, I got rebukaled again today. Like that was awesome. But like what other things would you say like more mainstream would be the things that you would say were culty about this or that people feared? Because I feel like similar to your group, like everything, the reason people stayed, the reason they got people, it was all fear-based. None of it to me was like, when I look back, was, oh, the love of God or anything like that. It was all very fear-based. What do you think? Like, was it similar as far as like means all the things? Is that why it was just you're afraid?
Oh, I think so. John and I have actually discussed this at length about how as a child, everything was scary. And meaning that you didn't know from one day to the next what would be considered, quote, worldly or what you would get in trouble because it seems like your attitude, you know, would be off limits. Well, even the like movie thing, right? For example, it's like, well, people are starting to get TVs or like rent movie or whatever, want to, you know, be more exposed to movies and things. It's like, well, we'll say they can rent them. Right. But then you can only rent a certain type. And then you had to buy a TV Guardian. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yes. We never had one because we were allowed to have TVs, period. So you just kept it a real secret. Yeah.
So it's just like it's everything was a potential of being outside of the will of God. And that depended on what somebody decided to preach about that day. It's funny that you mentioned, too, like, I don't remember learning a lot about like the Bible and Jesus. And maybe in Sunday school, we had those stories because, you know, you can be familiar with them. But like in the pulpit, it was always about something that was evil and bad and a person, a thing or whatever.
Yes.
And never about like scripture.
Right.
Yeah. Or a group of people or,
yeah,
you know, whether that was another church or that was, you know, the women's rights movement or whatever it was, it was always, or if you're, you know, homosexual or whatever it was, it was all of those pointing
that's
out
what you
that's
hear about.
Bad. These people are wrong. These people are evil. Right. Hollywood was evil, you know, all those sorts of things.
Yeah. And looking back, we can see like the manipulation in the actual timeline of the sermon, because he would take like Jack Hiles in particular, he would take a scripture and then just base an entire sermon around that like one phrase or line or concept. And if you study the history of like the accusations against him or his son or, you know, scandals within the church, you know, it's very convenient that you're like, and this passage of scripture says that you're not allowed to speak ill against your brother. And so, or sue your fellow Christian or whatever.
If there's not two witnesses,
yes,
right?
Threshold two witnesses, and if there aren't two witnesses, then there can be no sin or no crime or
did you see
whatever.
The abuse? Did you
right?
You know, were you there? Like, because usually perpetrators invite witnesses,
right? Exactly.
Right.
You know? Like,
hey, come watch what I'm about to do right here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so sad. So it sounds like just basically all the abuse or anything like that was very hidden. And do you, like you were saying, you kind of got called out in church as far as like the young people want to talk instead of listen. And, mm-hmm. you know, we are always doing something bad, I'm sure. But like, I remember like people being used as examples. So when, like, for instance, this one gal, I use this story all the time because it's hilarious now, but she started wearing pants, which is terrible. And just like not to meeting or anything, but just like to her mailbox, you know, like not we're not talking like showing up to church in your pants, you know. And yep. then later, I don't know how much later, I was younger. She had an affair with someone in, outside of our meeting group. Well, that was used for an example forever that she started wearing pants. It's a slippery slope.
I knew exactly where you were going.
Yes. See, and it's just like, and so you have these poor people that are humans and make mistakes and they get pointed out. And I mean, this happened over and over. And to me, the mental abuse, especially I feel like more the young men in our cult, they would have to stand up, you know, on the stage and get rebuked in front of everyone. And, you know, for like going to a movie or for going to another church. And I'm like, and then some other more like, you know, like having sex and stuff like that, of course, came too. But it was so sad. It was like you're ripping these people apart in front of other people, all their friends. I mean, basically everyone they know. And the mental abuse that created. And you look at these people now and I mean, so many, I mean, including myself and my husband and everyone, like so many issues because of that screwing with our minds. And it's like, and yet, if you were the right last name, it would get put under the rug. Like, well, we're not real sure. Like probably the two witnesses things came into play, you know, like, well,
yeah.
I mean, one person said it happened, but we're going to just hide this one. Very frustrating as a child, especially when you knew, like as a teen, I would know things that happened. And then I'm like, why isn't she being rebuked for this, you know? And yet this person was torn apart for it. So very, very sad.
Did they ever in yours? Because I don't know how big the organization is or lack of organization since you're not allowed to call. but like, did they ever ship people out to like that's what happened in ours a lot. If you had the right last name, like you were saying, or the right position or something, you would be like, oh, well, they're just going to that other like city or church. Or
Yes. So and we had a pretty small group, but there was enough, like us locally, the one I went to, we were probably about 150 people maybe. But we had like Texas was our biggest one, I think. There was like four in California. But Virginia. Yeah. Actually Shantae that you guys met.
Yeah.
She was shipped to a different family's house.
Oh, yes.
In a different state because she was, you know, troubled and needed more help than her parents could provide. And so it definitely happened. And like we laugh about it now, but at our leader's house locally, there always was some chick living there. And so now we're always like, what was going on there? But always there was some, you know, troubled girl living at that house. And I'm just, you know, needed extra counseling, I suppose.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, it's so sad. You know, in our incident or in our case experience, we have a family member who was actually brought in front of the church for discipline, who was, you know, pregnant before married and just awful what they went through. And then I'll let John share more about his story. But one of the reasons I think that really made a lasting impression on me and kept me in for so long was watching a family member go through that and how they were treated. And then B, watching my own brother after he left and the examples that were used because of him. So you can go ahead and start.
No, John. Woohoo!
You can tell a little bit more about why.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Yes. What made you leave? Well, I mean, you lived in this perfect life. What made you leave?
You know, it, what's wild to me is, you know, I think I might have said this to you, Shelley. I don't remember. But I used to have fantasies about being sent away to these camps and these boarding school kind of situations, because I hated it at home so much. Grateful that we couldn't afford that, because I think that was probably a much worse existence, even though I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
Why did I leave?
Or at least how?
Or why did you stay?
Man, well, no. I mean, I stayed as long as I did because I didn't have any other alternative, honestly, and I didn't know what to do. You know, but look, I mean, it's so ingrained in you from the very beginning. I mean, one of the Bible verses they use to soul win is, I forget the actual verse number, but for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they drilled that into you. And so you're never deserving from the very beginning. Just by virtue of being alive, you were not deserving. And thankfully, Jesus came down and said, I got you, bro. And did that whole cross thing. And now you're cool. You know, but you're still not, you didn't deserve it. But if you can humble yourself enough, then you'll be all right. And so it's a very tough place to grow up in that environment because, you know, it's something I couldn't know then, but certainly as an adult can look back on now. Thankfully, therapy helps, and realize that that's where a lot of that came from. But, you know, for me, it was elevated to another level for me because I was also being physically beaten by my mother. You know, not only did we have all of the mental and spiritual abuse of the church, I had the mental and emotional abuse from my mom. I had the physical abuse from my mom. Shelley and I both experienced sexual abuse at a very young age from a babysitter, you know, and, you know, it turned out that later we found out that he was just a teenager himself. So I'm sure this guy had been having the same things perpetrated on him that we had on us. And then later also, much later, found out that it was rumored at least and quite possible and plausible that he was part of a ring of boys, teenage boys, who had a bet to see, or some sort of betting thing to see how many children they could notch on their sexual abuse belt, as it were. And so those experiences pushed me in a different direction. And because I was the one that was being physically beaten up by my mom, I developed a hatred for her. And I legitimately, truly hated my mother at one point for a very long time. But that hatred is what really, I'm grateful for it because that hatred pushed me and pushed me to find something different. And so between my junior and senior year of high school, I decided to call the police, the local police, and just, I said, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. I can't stand this anymore. I want to get away. I'm afraid that if I leave, though, my parents are going to come and get me. And just to give you an idea of how scared we always were, at 17 years old, part of the reason, too, was I hit my mom back one time. And it was the worst beating she had ever given me. I mean, I was covered up like a boxer on the floor. She was just pow, 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 pow. And I hit her, finally hit her back just to get her off of me. But I was always so scared that I was home alone. And this is back in the day with, you know, real phones that plugged into the wall. And, you know, you'd have a 75-foot cord on that phone so you could kind of walk around the house with it. Yeah. And I took that phone at home by myself, knowing no one was around, and I still hunched down in the corner of the kitchen because I was scared. And I talked to the police officer, and I didn't understand at the time why he asked me this, but I definitely understand now. But as I told him the story, there was a long pause, and he said, "Are you in danger right now?" And I was like, "What? No, what the fuck are you talking about?" I understand why he asked me. now, but I didn't at the time. And I just was like, no, what do you mean? I'm fine. And so after we talked, he just said to me, well, you know, in Missouri at 17, which I had just turned 17. He said, you're considered a legal adult. And if your parents were to try to come after you, then you would be able to file a restraining order against them. And I said, fucking done, dude. That's all I needed. And, you know, my escape was, I was lucky. You know, my friend's Ray's mom knew what was going on at the house. She knew what I wanted to do. And once she knew that I was, you know, legally allowed to leave, she said that I could stay in their basement. And so, you know, I had my grandfather's he was in the Korean War. I had my grandfather's army duffel bag, one of these gigantic duffel bags. I packed it full of everything that I had. I threw it in the basement, and I went out one day to mow the grass. And this was before, you know, they had all the safety measures and you could leave a lawnmower running with, you know, as long as you wanted to, I suppose. And, but I say that because it was important to me at the time. Again, going back to how scared I always was about everything, I knew that if I was in the middle of mowing the grass and the lawnmower cut out, my mother would get curious about why the lawnmower had cut out and would probably peek out the window or peek out the front door or come outside just to make sure I wasn't doing something wrong. And so that was a benefit to me. And so I scheduled it with my buddy Ray, and he had a car at the time, and he drove by the house, and I was out there mowing the grass. And he came to the house. I left the lawnmower running in the front yard. He parked outside on the street. I ran down, I grabbed the duffel bag, I threw it in the back of his car. He took off, and I finished mowing the grass and then put the lawnmower away. And then I walked a mile to Ray's house from there, and I just never went back inside.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, oh my gosh, that's so sad. So, and then how, Shelly, then you kind of said how the church handled that. So how did that go once you left?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, and obviously everyone was searching for John at first, and, you know, he was smart enough not to tell me because he knew they'd break me.
True. And I left them a note too. I left my parents a note, and I said to them, I'm leaving, you know, don't try to follow me. If you do, I am able to file a restraining order against you, and I will do it. And I would have. There was no question that I would have done that at that point if I had to. So,
And I don't think please. That they had a question that you would do it either, because things had gotten so tense in the house. And part of this, and this just goes to show you like how insane it seems, you know, to the general population, but one of the reasons that things were so incredibly tense is that John was nominated for prom court, I believe.
I was nominated for prom king,
at a normal high school, like public
high school?
During the course of time, I was able to go back to the Christian school, and John lobbied to stay at the public school because of his love for basketball. And they finally were like, okay, fine, we're not going to fight you over this. You can stay there.
I had convinced them that I was a good basketball player, and I had convinced them that if I was going to get any scholarship money or any kind of help to go to college, that this was my best chance.
And I think they had given up on the, you know, fact that John wouldn't go to a state college, because that was also of the devil. You know, it was always a fight, always a fight, always a fight with him. And so things really escalated. And like John said, you know, one of the worst beatings that, you know, happened in our home. And so it was just like everything was at heightened alert. And it was largely due to the things that John wanted to do as a normal teenager. You know, that were viewed as worldly and horrible. And so afterwards, a lot of this, you know, confirmation bias came into my life because, you know, John was seeking worldly and evil and wicked things. And so look at what befell him. Right. And so it wasn't until I was probably a senior in high school, so he had already graduated. And yeah, I guess a year or so had passed. And I was just like, why are people saying that God is judging him and all this stuff when it's basically just us not helping him? Like, it started to click a little bit.
Hmm.
And, you know, I started to ask some questions, and there was a group of women in our church who, you know, basically would explain, you know, well, this is our duty and this is why, and scared me more and more, like, into believing, because I could see, you know, like, literally there were prayer meetings that were held that people would ask. And I don't remember it being our parents. But within the course of the prayer meeting, you know, for our children who are wayward to come back, like, things were prayed that, you know, God would break his legs, break his, you know, whatever it took. Like,
that's fucked up, dude.
Right.
That's why you broke your leg one time, John.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
I've never told you this.
No.
Yeah. Like, I literally
messed up
examples were given of like how God could
help
humble him because he hasn't humbled himself.
Jokes on them, because I've never broken a bone in my body. So
your prayers did not make it through the clouds.
Where's your God now?
Oh my gosh, that is disgusting. Oh
yeah. Well, so you can imagine the emotional and
crazy manipulation. Yeah.
And I felt this as my, like, John and I were best buddies growing up. We were able to kind of create this fun, imaginary life, you know, play make believe, tell each other our secrets, have, you know, the things that were normal to our little imaginative self. And
tickle feet fights.
Yes. we were the best of friends. And even, you know, presented a united front when we had discussions with our parents about, like, well, I don't think this is, you know, quite the way that we're being taught it is. And we could have those conversations. Afterwards, it just felt like we don't talk about this unless we are on our knees praying or condemning, you know, the choices, because, you know, and it's, the thing is, you can see it now. John did struggle. But John didn't have support.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it's like they were using the fact that
he was a normal teen. Yeah.
Was on his own, struggling to make sense of life and provide for himself as confirmation that God's judgment was upon him.
I hope that you all are enjoying this amazing conversation with John and Shelley. They have such an interesting story that's similar to mine in many ways, so we had way too much fun talking. I will be airing the second half of their podcast at the same time as this one, so do not be sad. You do not have to wait until next week. You can listen to the next one right now. Thank you all for joining me for another episode of the Shanty Pants Show. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me every week. You can find all of my links to all my social medias, anything your heart desires, at shantypantsshow.com. You can even find my amazing merch is back up and running there. And you can email me from there. All the things. All the things. Also, you always ask, how can you help me out with this whole podcast situation? You can subscribe to my podcast. You can leave reviews. You can share it with friends. I appreciate it all. So I am super excited to bring you guys the rest of the season. It's going to be amazing. And I'll see you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.